Jack Clunan spent 27 years working with the FBI on cases involving organized crime, counterterrorism, and foreign counterintelligence. And this evening, he will give a speech at Hamilton College in Clinton, New York, entitled The Holy Trinity, Al-Qaeda's Cooperating Witnesses. Jack Clunan worked with three former terrorists to get their cooperation in solving attacks against U.S. embassies across the world.
All three of them ended up in the witness protection program. All three of them pled guilty to a conspiracy to bomb embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam. And each one of them has an interesting backstory. And I always find the backstories to be so interesting. How agencies interact with each other. What were the impediments that you had to gain cooperation? How did you gain the cooperation? Those type of issues.
Why did they cooperate? Was it a guilty conscience or a deal that was cut for them? What were the reasons?
Well, I would never go so far as to say that they had a guilty conscience, certainly not initially. Every one of them was either running for something, had a little bit of anger towards bin Laden personally, actually, for some of the things that he had agreed to do to them to help their families and didn't follow through. And then they found themselves in rather unusual situations. We found them, that is, the New York office of the FBI found them overseas. And we worked collaboratively with the host countries in a lot of and to gain their cooperation. And it's really a question of how the U.S. legal process worked overseas, what we did as far as advising them of rights, what promises or no promises we made. And it was really, over the course of time, it was eliciting information from them, them gaining confidence in us, them trusting us, and us honoring our word as to what we would do. In turn, they agreed to walk into the U.S. District Court in the Southern District of New York, tell the court who they were. They all pled guilty, and they testified against those who were on trial for bombing the embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam. So it's a very transparent process. It's sort of in stark contrast to some of the things that were done post 9/11 with so-called black sites. And it's in stark contrast, for example, to harsh interrogation techniques. And you can draw the comparison. I certainly would, if asked, do I think the way we handle things was an effective way of gaining cooperation as opposed to perhaps, let's say, waterboarding. If you have to waterboard a suspect 183 times, you rather figured out by that point that the subject has figured out he's not going to die, and he'll spin a tail that probably will chase you down a lot of endless alleys and end up with no actionable intelligence. So yes, there are issues that I will draw and compare. But again, it's really the interaction of these people and how they began to trust the United States, if you will, and why they cooperated. And as I said, the backstories are always interesting. You know, what's it like to put people into safe houses and to live with them? What are the ups and downs? How did you smuggle their family members out of various countries, which we all did?
Was there a competition or a cooperation between federal agencies, say between the FBI and the CIA? Is there a cooperation or is there a competitiveness?
Oh, I think that's a sort of an age-old problem that gets talked about an awful lot. At my level, I was a street agent. It was my job to get information from people. I wasn't involved in making policy or critical decisions reflecting any particular agency. I didn't see that structural impediment. What I found were people who had a goal in mind based on an intelligence finding that was presented to then President Clinton as to we were going to eliminate the threat posed by bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. And so I found people working in a common purpose. Were there instances where one agency's prerogative superseded another, and were there structural problems? Yes. That certainly has been underscored in the 9/11 Commission. But on a daily basis, there was extraordinary cooperation. And I think that is, unfortunately, in my view, a misnomer, that agencies don't get along with each other. you know, in the real world, you know, it would be nice if everybody got along, but we know that's not the case. Personalities differ across organizations. But the stated goal was the same, to eliminate a threat. But there were critical mistakes made, and I'm not here to cover up any critical mistakes that were made prior to 9/11. And if things had been differently, maybe the 9/11 plot might have been prevented. And I think there's a very strong argument in that regard.
For many years, the American people wondered if we'd ever find Osama bin Laden. SEAL Team 6 did find him, killed him. Were you surprised, or were you expecting that to eventually happen, or in the back of your mind, did you think, well, he's gotten away?
Well, I remember having a conversation right after 9/11 with a person who has sometimes been described as the person who trained Osama bin Laden, or who trained the top echelon of al-Qaeda. And I remember having a conversation with him in the Metropolitan Corrections Center in New York. He had been in the witness protection program in a prison and brought up, and I was talking to him. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and I said to him, you know, what is the best way of getting the Sheikh, in your view? And the first thing he said to me was, without any prompting on my behalf, he said, follow the messengers. And then he laid out a strategy as how bin Laden would move around and do certain things, because he was the person that had been tasked with putting together bin Laden's protection detail. He had moved bin Laden, believe it or not, out of various countries in disguise. So he was a subject matter expert on that. And I thought that was a very prescient statement that he made, because ultimately, and let's give full credit to the CIA and to SEAL Team 6 for what they did, enormously gratifying in my view that they put their hats on, they developed terrific intelligence. And what led them to that house in Abbottabad? Human intelligence, a doctor, and the messengers that were going back and forth. They staked out the location, and they were pretty much assured the night that they went in that that's where the Sheikh was.
Jack Cloonan spent 27 years in the FBI and will speak this evening at Hamilton College in Clinton, New York on The Holy Trinity, Al-Qaeda's Cooperating Witnesses. The speech is free and open to the public. It begins at 7 o'clock tonight at the Kerner Johnson Building at Hamilton College.